Now, we have our next guest on the line because we have Astronomy Week coming up in March. And it's been a while since I've got to speak with David Moore, astronomer and head of Astronomy Ireland anyway. So lovely to renew the acquaintance. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
It's been a while. I know it's not been too long since you've been on the station. Just you weren't on my day now for a while. So January actually was a very eventful month, although we were with our storms and all the rest of it. And I know you have a list of February events, and it's going to be Astronomy Week at the start of March. So where do you want to kick it off?
Gosh, well, we should start what's on view in the sky, perhaps right now.
Always a good place to start.
Exactly. If you look out this evening or next few evenings, it's clear. You'll see Venus blazing over in the west. I mean, it's nearly 100 times brighter than the brightest stars you'll see overhead. So it's absolutely unmistakable.
Venus is as bright as the moon at the moment, actually.
Yeah, the moon is also full this week. Yes. And the February full moon is also known as the snow moon. Let's hope it can live up to its name. But
I never heard that. February moon is called the snow moon.
Yeah, a lot of the moons have popular names. The most popular ones around the world come from Native American culture. And that's because the Americans control the internet so much that whatever their local names for the moons are tends to stick. You'll see this a lot. You know, they'll often say, oh, this is visible, that's visible. And it will be in USA, continental USA, but sometimes in Ireland, much further north, we don't actually see what they see.
Well, of course, the Americans, they have wide open spaces, and the Native Americans would have been very in tune with what was going on in nature.
Yeah, and there are other cultures that have their own lists of names. The Chinese have them.
I could imagine.
Population there, of course. But there's even Celtic names for each of the full moons. And if you look back thousands of years, say, to the oldest astronomically aligned building in the world, Newgrange, in County Meath. Well, 5,000 years ago, our ancestors were looking at the moon. No records, unfortunately, of what they called them. But there are carvings of crescent moons and the like you can see up there. And they would have counted the number of days in the year because they knew when the solstice happened every winter. So they could count the number of days in the year till it happened again. So we're pretty sure they knew how long the year was. And there's about 12 full moons in the year. So the year was broken up into 12 months. Months, if you like. Mm. That's where the word month comes from.
Mm-hmm. So the snow moon, I presume, the snow moon is so-called, I presume, because it often brings the snow. Or at least it's associated with snow.
Yeah, I mean, the winter begins at the December solstice, usually around the 21st of December, and runs till the equinox in March. It's on the 20th of March this year. So it takes a while for the Earth to cool down, so there's always a bit of a lag. So the coldest months would tend to be January, February, and February often would have been associated with snows. Yeah. You'll see, you know.
Even though here it's associated with the beginning of spring, so we're a bit off. Nev Breed was a little bit off the mark.
Yeah, I mean, the calendar is a human concoction, and it's been messed around with by emperors and popes and everybody else over the millennia. So, you know, the weather doesn't follow what humans decide to call the particular times of year. Mm. The weather goes by how the Earth's axis tilts, and that's the solstices and the equinoxes. Yeah. And they're December, March, September, and the one in July and June. So, you know, the seasons are all there, defined by the Earth's axis and its tilt, because that's what heats the Earth, after all. When we go to live on Mars, it's tilted as well, and it has its own seasons also. So, you know, we'll invent some other kind of crazy human calendar there.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
Ignore it and just do what it wants to do.
Elon Musk's calendar. Anyway, events to look forward to for the rest of February. Is it at the moment, Venus is bright and clear. Couldn't miss it. It's not a drone delivering your coffee and croissants. It's Venus. So what else can we look forward to in February?
Yeah, well, Venus is part of the planet parade. So there are eight planets in our solar system. There used to be nine when we had Pluto. 2006, we got rid of that, demoted it to be a dwarf planet, and we're left with eight. So there are seven that you can see in the sky, and also seven of them will be visible right at the end of February. In fact, the two hardest ones to see with the naked eye are low down. They'll be Mercury and Saturn, and they're just below Venus. So if you see Venus, you're going to be looking for a star, pretty average-looking star, below Venus. That's actually the planet Saturn. And on the 25th of February, Mercury will be very close to it, about a moon width away, to give you some idea. And you should be able to see the two of those with the naked eye. If you do, you can then quickly spot Venus, and then high in the south, from now till then, is Jupiter, about 10 times brighter than the brightest star in the sky, so you can't miss it. And over in the east is Mars, a bit brighter than the brightest star in the sky. So you've got, going from east to west, you've got Mars, Jupiter, Venus, and then below them, Saturn and Mercury. And the two other planets, to make the seven planets, are Uranus and Neptune. Now you will need a pair of binoculars or a small telescope to see those.
So you can, the children could go out and say the little rhyme to themselves, my very educated mother just showed us, it used to be nine planets, but you'll have to say.
Yeah, there are a few
showed us Nutella.
Yeah, and there's certainly with naked eye, from a dark sky, you should be able to see five of the seven. And if you've got the star map in the middle of Astronomy Island magazine, it'll show you how to locate Uranus and Neptune. Uranus, just on the edge of naked eye visibility. It was near the moon a few days ago, and I was able to see it in a pair of binoculars. We had a diagram in the magazine. You aim your binoculars at the moon, and there was a little star just to the lower left.
Now,
that's Uranus.
Of course, we're plagued here in Dublin with, you know, light bleeding and all the rest of it. So should we go visiting our country cousins to look at this, or will they be visible from cityscapes?
Well, the thing about Venus, Jupiter and Mars, which are brighter than all the stars in the sky, is if you can see one star in the sky, that's, they're the ones you're going to see because they are so bright. You would see those in the middle of Dublin, Cork, Limerick City, problem.
Okay.
Uranus and Neptune, not so much, but you need a telescope for those, and the telescope will still cut through the light pollution. So planets are pretty bright and easy to see.
Yeah.
And again, people who are really interested in going and looking and they want to have access to a telescope, well, then Astronomy Ireland has a huge part to play in that.
Yeah, we try to run watches every month or two. So watches where we set up big telescopes and invite the public along to look through them. We tried it on January 22nd for Mars, which is closer to us this year than it will be for 6 years.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the clouds interfered. We're trying to get all of our volunteers together to repeat that in February. And it's not confirmed yet, but it looks like it might be next Wednesday. So what people should do is go to our website, astronomy.ie. It'll be announced there in the event section. But also, down the bottom, you'll see our social media. So if you're on Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram, then follow us there. And when the date's confirmed, you'll get a notice. And anyone in the Leinster area, it's certainly worth travelling to look through giant telescopes, unless you've got thousands of euros to spend on your own one.
Yeah.
Why not come look through ours for a small donation?
Yeah, because it's marvellous. And actually, your magazine is wonderful.
We tried in the magazine of kids and, you know, members of the public who have no knowledge of science. So it's full of all the fantastic pictures that come in from around space, what to see in Irish skies, and also reports of what Irish people are seeing. So last Sunday, Mars was extremely close to the moon. Now, I was mostly clouded out, but I'm glad that some people around the country weren't, and they sent us some lovely pictures that'll be in the next issue. So you can, you know, live out your astronomy from the comfort of your own armchair with the magazine, and it's done by volunteers. So it's about a euro a week. What can you get for a euro a week?
Not a whole pint, for sure.
Again, that brings us to the point then of you have set up your GoFundMe page.
We haven't set a GoFundMe page up, to my knowledge.
The Irish Federation of Astronomical Societies and Receiving...
That's not Astronomy Ireland. We're not allowed to join that for some reason. They won't let us in, even though we are the world's most popular astronomy
society.
But
you know what? Like Blazing Saddles long ago, circle your own wagon there.
And, you know, they're a great organisation. It's just we think Astronomy Ireland is much better. And, you know, we're really aimed at the general public. So there's maybe 100,000 followers on all of our social media outlets in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, free of charge on our social media, you can get free predictions on if there's going to be a display of the Northern Lights. So on Sunday afternoon, we forecast there was going to be a display. It duly arrived. It was seen around the world. No reports from Ireland because of all the cloud cover we had. But there was an aurora. And every day we'll tell you if there's going to be one from Ireland or not. And we're pretty good at more than half the time we get it right. And that's the longest running Aurora Alert service in Ireland. Again, free on our social media, so at least follow us there. Astronomy.ie, you'll see the links down the bottom.
Lovely. Now, Astronomy Week isn't kicking off until the 1st of March. Do you have links with, I'm thinking of schools, primary and secondary, or what, you know, where will the focus be for Astronomy Week? Because every week is Astronomy Week when your name is David Moore, I'm sure.
Exactly. Every week we're trying to figure out how can we engage the public more, and to have the whole country focus on it once a year can only be a good thing. We've got a public lecture in March that people will see on our events section. That's all about water in the solar system, especially on Mars, because, you know, NASA, not just Elon Musk, but NASA and even the Chinese have said they're going to go to Mars. So countries are going to Mars. Hopefully it'll happen in our lifetime. And the question, how do they survive there? They need water. And there's an expert who's involved in a lot of these space missions who's going to give a talk about this online, so everybody in the country can listen to the talk at the same time. You'll see details on our events page there. We'll have the magazine out. There's a weekly email going out every week. And hopefully we'll have a nice display of the Northern Lights, because we're right at Northern Lights peak season. Mm-hmm. And last year there were two huge displays in May and again in October. The one in May, NASA said, was 500 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was as plain as day, almost literally, back then on May the 10th it was. Many people might remember that.
I have found that these things always look better. If you think you see it and take a photograph, the photograph will, the camera sees differently from the eye. Sunsets, the same
like
is true of sunsets.
Video camera, so yeah. We're sort of seeing several pictures per second, a video camera. So you don't get much time to collect light. With a still camera, can open its lens for tens of seconds and collect far more light, even though the lens might be smaller than the pupil of your eye. Because it's open hundreds of times longer, it can actually, modern smartphones, camera phones these days, can photograph stars much fainter than you can see. They're about as good as a pair of binoculars.
Yep.
And there's just that tiny little lens on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite remarkable. And they're also good at colour vision at night. The human eye doesn't, believe it or not, have colour vision at night. If things are very dim, they all look grey. Now, if you see a bright white light or red light or orange light, that's because it's bright. But even on the stars, only the bright ones can you see them tinged with slight colours. So for night vision, the human eye is more like a video camera. Well, camera phones are fantastic, and we're trying to get more people to take pictures with their camera phones. Most of them have night mode, or it might be called pro mode. And if you go in and fiddle around with that, you should be able to take superb pictures. The problem is holding them still for several seconds.
Mind you, Liam is in the camera club here. I can see him getting an itch already.
Some of our team went to Iceland, and some of the pictures that came back from that trip were amazing of the actual, what you're actually talking about, the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
And the colour definition of that is amazing. And you're right about the cameras.
I've been lucky to lead four expeditions to Norway up to the top of inside the Arctic Circle. And when you're that close to the North Pole, then you see an aurora practically every night. So the weather only becomes the problem. And same in Iceland. And like you say, the views are spectacular. No two aurora are ever the same.
That's
and
true.
The trick for your camera phone, by the way, is to rest it on something. I mean, the simplest thing you do is pop it on the roof of the car or a wall or something pointing straight up, set it in this promo, 10 seconds, give it a go, and you'll see more stars than you can with your eyes. And that hopefully will get people hooked. And when you get good pictures, we want to publish them in Astronomy Ireland magazine.
Okay.
And there's a lovely kiddie section in that magazine too, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. Children are very important.
Yeah.
I mean, the society was founded in 1990, and after 25 years, when the club had gotten very big, we realised, you know, our real role in Irish society is to promote an interest in science in general, and astronomy in particular, because Ireland's economy is now based on science. About 60% of our GDP is all these internet, pharmaceutical, chip-making companies that are looking for science graduates to work for them. They came here because there was a lot. Now they need more. And So, you know, we're playing our role in inspiring young people to take up a career. And astronomy is the most accessible science. So that's very important.
In fact, if there are any parents listening who have children in school, primary school as well as secondary, I used to be in the primary sector, you could do worse than buy the middle and senior classes an annual subscription and just let the magazine circulate amongst the kids on rainy day lunchtimes. It's amazing.
Now, David,
we're hoping to look for funding, and one of the things we'd like to get funded would be that every school in the country would get a copy of the magazine every month, and we could target it more at kids, because they're the future.
Yeah. Now, when did you start out then, going back to...
Yeah, it's interesting. I met my good colleague, Sir Patrick Moore, who we got over for many talks in Ireland, passed away over a decade ago, unfortunately, a great loss. But he's always told the story of he was 6 years old when he got started in astronomy, because his mother had a book in the house about astronomy. Hopefully in today's world, it'll be a copy of Astronomy Ireland magazine in the house. But that's age six. I was 11 when I started, so I'm a Johnny come lately. And there are people in our society I've talked to over the years who have started even younger than six. And I think kids are just fascinated. And now they've got the internet. It is packed full of information and stories to keep them going. When I was a kid, you had to go to the local library and maybe get some foreign magazines from America or the UK and read those. And there was always a big delay of weeks. Sometimes comets would come and go before you even heard of them. Now we all know of them within hours and minutes.
I had a teaching colleague 1 year, and apart from when she was teaching infants, but if she was teaching a middle or a senior class, every year Santi managed to bring any amount of telescopes to the kids in her class.
Excellent.
What went on the list. Telescope, telescope, telescope. There's one in my house from the year my son spent a year with her. Yeah. Just opened up their world. She was amazing
how I got started.
Yeah.
A friend of mine had a telescope in his bedroom, and once I saw it, I was hooked. I want to know everything you could see through it. I think it's because human vision is probably our most important sense. And that January 22nd Mars watch we ran was really about trying to get people who got telescopes for Christmas but didn't know how to either assemble them in the first place or how to use them. And, you know, when you're face-to-face with someone, you can show them in seconds. You can try and watch YouTube videos, so you can try and read the manual. But there's nothing like having a person answering your questions one by one. And
amazing. And children are wonderful. They're just sponges, and they're so curious. And, of course, Astronomy Ireland is based here in Dublin 15.
Yeah, we're in our office where all those watches are held, in the... just not far from the National Aquatic Centre. So we're up the road a little bit in Rosemount Business Park. And if you go to astronomy.ie, there's a map showing where we are, an air code that will navigate you in as well. And, you know, when the next watch is announced, do come along. If you had a telescope for Christmas, or you got it any time, you don't know how to use it, bring it along. Even if it's cloudy, we can show you how to use it. Because the worst thing in the world is to have a telescope that gets put in the attic to collect dust for the rest of its life.
Yeah,
that's a tragedy.
Yeah, we've rescued our one recently for the next generation.
Our evening classes are running as well. I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
They'll be running during Astronomy Week. So, if you can, there are eight of them every Wednesday night, and if they're all self-contained, so if you miss the first three, it doesn't matter, the fourth one doesn't rely on the first three, so you can join in any time, and you can get the recordings of the ones you've missed, and also, they're repeated in October, and if you sign up now, you can do the entire course again free in October, so there's never been a better time to join. They're running now, and they run till March the 19th, right through Astronomy Week.
Absolutely no excuse. David, you're always a fond of information.
Brilliant.
My pleasure. Yeah. Great to talk about astronomy. You'll never shut me up.
we've noticed and we are grateful.
No, I wouldn't say that.
We don't want to shut you up.
It's great to hear what an expert has to say on stuff. So well done. Thanks, David.
Thank you very much. And don't worry, you don't have to be an expert to join Astronomy. I've been just doing this for decades, and you're bound to pick up a few little facts along the way.
But you're giving leadership. That's the important
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. So anyway, tonight and in the coming nights, watch out for...
the whole planet parade.
Yeah, the planet parade.
Venus, Jupiter and Mars. Dead easy to see the three brightest objects up there.
And the February full moon is the snow moon, and watch out for the planet parade. And Venus, yeah, clear as could be in the west. And all the information on your website, Astronomy.
Yep, and lots in the magazine. And when you join this club as well, you also get a weekly email that will remind you what's in the magazine, but also anything new that comes up.
And folks, when you sign up for the magazine, the first one comes with one or two of the back issues as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now we have a stock of back issues. Why throw them in a skip when we can send them out still full, packed full of great stories to brand new members of the club?
Absolutely. Okay, lovely to talk to you, David. God bless. Informative as always.
Bye-bye.